Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Our top story, a cat and mouse game between the U.S. and China. Washington unleashing new export controls after China found new ways to access banned technology. The Hong Kong branch of the Epoch Times no longer printing its newspaper until further notice. The suspension comes as nearly two dozen news agencies have shut down after Beijing tightened control on press freedom. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum warning of potential Chinese attacks on American infrastructure. How prepared is America's electric grid? More on what he had to say.
We have to continue as our country to be very, very vigilant and keep investing in cybersecurity.
And a powerful storm makes landfall on an island in southern China. Forecasters say about where the typhoon will head next. Washington has a new plan for stemming the flow of advanced microchips to Beijing. The Commerce Department came out with new rules Thursday. From now on, companies looking to export technology and tools related to quantum computing have to apply for export licenses. The new restrictions are meant to prevent Beijing from using that technology to advance its own military. Semiconductors are critical to military power, as they're required for the most advanced weapons and equipment. The guidelines didn't name China, but they expand similar restrictions that the U.S. previously put in place. The rules are effective immediately. The export controls cover a number of things: quantum computing items, advanced tools for making microchips, and a piece of key technology used in chips for supercomputers. Samsung has started using this technology to make one of the globe's most advanced chips. Though there are exemptions, friendly countries like Japan already have their own export controls. So entities in those countries are not subject to the new U.S. export controls. Washington's new action comes after China found new ways to get around restrictions. The U.S. previously banned Chinese companies from getting their hands on certain powerful AI chips, but some Chinese firms have been able to utilize computing power generated from these chips with a workaround by using U.S. cloud computing companies like Amazon Web Services. The Commerce Department said it expects to see similar export restrictions from friendly countries. The Netherlands is following Washington's footsteps. The country is home to the world's leading supply of microchip-producing equipment, ASML. The gear allows companies to mass-produce advanced chips. On Friday, the Dutch government said it would expand export licensing requirements for some of ASML's chip-making equipment. The Hong Kong branch of the Epoch Times has decided to suspend its newspaper after more than two decades. The company announced the decision on Friday. The news comes as global criticism towards Beijing rises for its attempts to erode Hong Kong's freedom of speech and judicial system.
I feel deep regret. We are completely independent and not influenced by the Chinese Communist Party in any way. For a media outlet like ours to exist in Hong Kong is extremely difficult. This also bears witness to the Chinese Communist Party's lie about the one country, two systems idea, and how they say one thing on the surface but secretly engage in threats, violence, and intimidation behind the scenes. We have witnessed this.
The media company said it will present its final printed issue on September 17th. It said it has to suspend the print version since the company is not able to renew the lease of its printing plant on top of other challenges. But it will continue distributing its publications through its website. The agency expressed gratitude to its readers and clients, saying that it will never give up hope despite darkness under the Chinese regime. The Hong Kong Epoch Times was founded in 2001. Its recent announcement comes as a slew of media outlets and news agencies went defunct after 2020. Its reporters and the printing plant have faced several severe attacks over the past few years. 4 years ago, Beijing imposed a national security law on the city. The law gives Chinese authorities the power to clamp down on the pro-democracy protests and suppress free speech. At a Team Trump event in Wisconsin Thursday, NTD's Iris Tao asked North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum about potential Chinese attacks on U.S. infrastructure. Take a look.
A YouGov poll published at the end of last month had inflation topping the list as a very serious issue on the minds of voters. 67% called the problem a major concern going into the 2024 election. In his speech, Trump promised an end to high inflation and more, with his team's victory speaking on CNBC.
Our energy will be unleashed. Our economy will be set free. Our sovereignty will be restored. Our citizens will thrive. Growth will come roaring back.
Trump criticized what he views as the weaponization of the justice system under the Biden administration. He said such policies create capital flight and change once prosperous nations into ruins.
I will have no higher priority as president than to restore the fair, equal, and impartial rule of law in America.
Trump also discussed his plan to cut the corporate tax rate to 15% from 21% for companies that manufacture domestically. And he said he would open up federal land to home building in a bid to drive down housing costs. The presidential hopeful says the new housing zones would be low tax and low regulation. Meanwhile, the former president also announced plans during his speech to form a government efficiency commission if victorious. He says the commission would audit federal finances and operations and recommend major reforms. Trump has pegged Elon Musk to head it. The Tesla and SpaceX CEO has expressed willingness to take on the role, saying the commission could bring significant economic benefits. Musk says he would serve without pay or recognition. At a Team Trump event in Wisconsin yesterday, NTD's Iris Tao asked North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum about potential Chinese attacks on U.S. infrastructure.
Do you think our electric grid, our infrastructure is ready to handle that? And how do we deter China from doing that?
To continue as our country to be very, very vigilant and keep investing in cybersecurity. There are real risks out there today. And with President Trump, there's a path where we can reduce those risks.
Burgum criticized the Biden administration's energy policy, saying China is building 2 coal plants per month.
They will bring on over 400 gigawatts of coal in the next 2 years as baseload power to power their economy, power their efforts in artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence is directly related to every aspect of defense, every aspect of healthcare, every aspect of education.
Over to a legal matter. The judge in the New York business records case against Donald Trump will announce today whether to delay Trump's sentencing. It is currently set for September 18th. Trump requested a postponement until after Election Day, which the Manhattan DA's office did not oppose. Vice President Kamala Harris headed to Pennsylvania yesterday as she prepares to debate Trump next Tuesday. It will be their first meeting, coming just 75 days after President Biden's debate performance ultimately forced him from the race. Daniel Monahan, NTD News.
Chinese state actors reportedly ramping up efforts to impact discussion online and sway political debate. The details come from research firm Graphica. Operators of fake accounts pose as American voters and amplify content that criticizes candidates and addresses other sensitive political issues. All this became known as spamouflage. But how would the Chinese regime benefit from a split America? Here's what former Congressman Dave Bratt, now Senior Vice President of Liberty University's Business School, shared earlier with NTD's Evelyn Lee.
The Chinese doesn't need to do the hard work of a democratic republic, building up the moral fiber of the people, educating the people to be good citizens. They just command it from on high, right? And the Chinese people, unfortunately, pay the price for that with, you know, totalitarian surveillance state. In the United States, we have a harder job. And so from the Chinese point of view, it's very efficient to bring divisions to the American people, right? The neo-Marxist stuff, it's not Marx anymore. It's not capital and labor. The neo-Marxist stuff is dividing us all by race and black and brown and blue collar and gender and all these infinite genders and all this kind of stuff, putting you into different buckets, getting you to fight with each other. Eventually, if we go along with that, that will bring our country down. We should be focused on the big issues of our day. We have, in the U.S., the top issues in the polls are the inflation rate and the economy, and then number two is the border invasion. Three is the endless wars we're in. And the American people, if you just listen to them, those are the top three issues. But the Chinese does not want you to focus on those three issues. They would not. They don't want our success there. They consider us a competitor, and more than a competitor, right? They're at war, according to the 1999 document. They're at war with us using all means possible.
Now, let's also talk about AI, because I would imagine that that also plays a large role, especially when it comes to fake content. And is the U.S. prepared to counter that issue, especially so close to the elections?
Yes, but the U.S. government is split right now, right? It's the most divided government you've ever seen, the D's versus the R's. And then there's a new political realignment with the kind of the populist surge that's attracting both parties. So when you say, is the government aware? Yes, I think we're ahead of the Chinese on the AI. They're more efficient, as I said. They're top down. And so, yes, if we aligned all of our technological firepower, I think we could win the day easily. But the AI, the Chinese are very intelligent, right? They're very smart. The leadership hires the best of the best in the world, and from their own market, and they're going at it, it appears, right? And so our problem is our national unity, and it shouldn't be, right? We should all just be aligned underneath the Constitution and the rule of law and all the things that Americans want for their kids, et cetera.
One of the most powerful storms of the year has slammed into the Chinese island of Hainan. It's the strongest typhoon to make landfall there in 10 years, packing maximum wind speeds of over 140 miles per hour. Typhoon Yagi is the equivalent of a Category 4 hurricane. Here's a closer look at its path.
Over a million have been evacuated, schools are shut, and flights have been canceled. Residents are asked to stay home, public transportation is halted. Neighboring provinces have activated their highest level of emergency response. Officials are warning local residents of potential floods and landslides. Heavy rain is set to continue until Sunday. Parts of Hainan could see over 20 inches of rain per day. The typhoon is expected to move to northern Vietnam on Saturday.
More than 2 weeks after devastating floods hit China's northeastern Liaoning province, many survivors are still struggling to access basic necessities like food and shelter. Here's the story.
More than 40 homes in northeast China's Liaoning province have been destroyed after severe flooding put them underwater for 10 days. The flood struck after excess water was released from a nearby reservoir in August. Recently, some flood victims who sought help from authorities were detained or went missing. An online video showed two elderly women crying over the damages.
My three houses were flooded, and now I have no place to stay.
I couldn't get anything out of the house, not even my clothes. I am old. I've lost everything.
Volunteer Xiao Zhang said local authorities gave out aid equal to just under $4,000 to each impacted household. Zhang explained that the low compensation and the level of damage have sparked residents' anger. Some attempted to raise the issue with higher authorities in Shenyang, the capital of Liaoning province, but were detained by police at highway checkpoints. Some villagers also went missing.
All of Jujiagu village, over 40 homes, were submerged up to their rooftops for about 10 days. The flooding damaged many houses. Some even collapsed. Clothes, crops, and fruit trees were all washed away. People have lost everything. The area is now covered in mud. It smells terrible. Everyone is struggling.
State media downplayed the disaster, only reporting that 8,000 fruit trees in the village were submerged. Rescue volunteer Wang Yi explained that village, which is known for its large production of peaches and pears, is now facing significant losses during what should be its peak harvest season.
Due to the reservoir water release and poor drainage, there have been massive losses with thousands of peach and pear trees submerged. The cars are left underwater in the yard. Houses are submerged. Beds, household appliances, everything is damaged. It's a total loss. Replacing everything would be incredibly costly.
Multiple surrounding counties and townships have suffered similar damage. Roads and buildings have also been hit, leaving residents struggling to find food and shelter.
The damage is just overwhelming. My mom saw our house and cried her eyes out, saying that trying to rebuild would just be too much to handle.
Ms. Tong is a resident of Jiabian Village. She said the flooding there is so severe that stepping outside feels like walking into a river.
Coming up, the head of the world's most powerful military alliance is pressing Chinese leaders. He wants China to stop supporting Russia's war on Ukraine.
China cannot continue to fuel the largest military conflict in Europe without this impacting Beijing's interests and reputation.
The Taiwanese president inspecting Taiwan's military on an island just 30 miles from mainland China. Details on what he said to troops there. And Chinese fashion giant Shein is shaking up South Africa's retail sector with its first pop-up store. Shoppers say they love the deals, but rivals are crying foul. More on that after the break here on China in Focus. Welcome back to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg is telling China to stop supporting Russia's war on Ukraine. He says Beijing's assistance is one of the main reasons the war has dragged on so long. Watch.
China cannot continue to fuel the largest military conflict in Europe without this impacting Beijing's interests and reputation.
Stoltenberg added that China is enabling the war. It's transferring weapons, components, equipment, and raw materials to Russia. China has pushed back on those accusations. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said he does not want China to act as a mediator, but he hopes Beijing will put greater pressure on Moscow to end the war.
Taiwanese President William Lai inspecting Taiwan's army and navy troops stationed in the Penghu Islands on Friday. Situated in the Taiwan Strait, the Penghu Islands are located only about 30 miles east of mainland China. Here's what Lai told the troops.
You are all an important force in safeguarding national security. I want to thank you for carrying out combat training in peacetime and being on standby to protect our waters.
During the inspection, Taiwanese soldiers demonstrated an American-made air defense system. The system plays a key role in Taiwan's efforts to deter aerial threats from China. China has been ramping up military pressure around Taiwan and claims the island as its own. That's despite the fact that the Chinese Communist Party has never ruled Taiwan. Last week marked the first 100 days of the Taiwanese president's term. Although facing threats from Beijing, the president insists on protecting Taiwan's independence and does not see conflict. His actions have gained support from the White House. A recent survey shows that Lai has earned over 50% trust and satisfaction from the people of Taiwan. A rare gesture from Germany directed at Chinese aggression. Berlin plans to send two warships to sail the Indo-Pacific region. A German official said it aims to show the nation's commitment to free and open navigation. He declined to say whether the German ships would pass through the Taiwan Strait, the body of water separating Taiwan from mainland China. If they do pass through the strait, it would mark the German Navy's first such passage in two decades. Worth noting, China is one of Germany's biggest trading partners. The announcement comes as Beijing ups its aggression in the waters. It's accused of sending Coast Guard ships to ram into Filipino boats in the South China Sea and of occupying disputed islands and turning them into military bases. The Chinese Communist Party has also threatened to take Taiwan under control by force if necessary. Chinese-founded e-commerce retailer Shein is facing mixed opinions after the launch of its first physical pop-up store in South Africa. Shein has lured bargain hunters and spurred a tax change after rivals called the competition unfair. Let's zoom in.
Chinese e-commerce retail giant Shein has divided opinion in South Africa after opening its first physical store. Not only has it lured in bargain hunters, but it spurred a tax change after rivals said the competition was unfair. Having opened in Johannesburg a month ago, it has attracted reams of customers who are eager for clothes and accessories, which often cost less than $10.
First kind of initial expectation from Shein was that it was not up to what my standard of good quality would be. So I think when I started noticing that, hey, actually this is like every other piece of clothing in my cupboard, I was like, okay, maybe I should just rethink this and then give it a try.
But prices of Shein's online-only goods are expected to rise in South Africa. That's after the country's tax authority increased levies to protect local retailers. Since Monday, people importing low-value parcels have been required to pay value-added tax of 15%. Shein's critics said this move will help level the playing field. And while some shoppers are saying why not to Shein's bargain offers, advocates for sustainable fashion encouraged shoppers to question such cheap prices.
When things are produced locally, they cost more because I think people are trying to do right in terms of labor laws and to give people a decent quality of life, which is not so much the case with people with the suppliers who supply for the likes of Shein. There's still a big conversation there about the ethics around exploitation and just the churning culture that's happening there. So I think as a consumer, you also have to think to yourself, do I really need the sweater in three different colors?
As African leaders gather in Beijing for the China-Africa Cooperation Summit, the communist regime is ramping up security in its capital, so far detaining numerous citizens under the guise of maintaining stability. But what's the purpose behind the arrests? They aim to control petitioners, Chinese citizens who feel they've been wronged by Chinese authorities. Visiting Beijing to appeal to higher-level authorities is a common practice for those seeking justice. But during diplomatic events that welcome foreign officials, the Chinese regime sees their presence as harmful to its reputation. At least 20 petitioners from Shanghai who traveled to Beijing were recently sent back or silenced. Most were placed under house arrest, while others were detained in secret black jails. Others have reportedly disappeared completely. The majority of them try to seek justice after being forcibly evicted or having their homes demolished by order of local authorities. Ding Juying, a petitioner held in a black jail, told the Epoch Times she's been detained since August 13th. She's unsure how long she'll be in custody, but expects it will continue through December. That's because another summit is scheduled in Beijing in September, with another major meeting in October. Meaning Chinese authorities may opt to keep petitioners in custody and out of the public eye for even longer. That's all for today's China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. If you have any feedback on the show or have something you'd like to see us cover, send us an email at chinainfocusntd.com. We'd love to hear from you. For round-the-clock original news coverage, visit us at ntd.com or download our NTD app. Coming up on NTD, stay tuned for America's Hope with Kelly Wright. Tonight, a discussion with Dean Baker about the housing crisis in America, highlighting the shortage of new homes and high price tags on mortgages and rent. And later, Kenyatta McKinnon addresses the need to improve relationships between law enforcement and their communities, emphasizing the importance of empowerment and community engagement. That's on America's Hope tonight at 10 p.m. after China in Focus. Thanks for watching. See you soon.